Is that not our prayer and desire? Don't we desire that so much, for Christ to live in us? This song begins by saying, "Once far from God and dead in sin, no light my heart could see, but in God's word, the light I found, because Christ lives in me." How did we find it? Christ revealed it to us. And then it ends by saying, "With longing all my heart is filled, that like him I may be, as on the wondrous thought I dwell, that Christ lives in me." We just want to be like him. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I pray the Lord will meet with us today and help us and bless us and reveal himself to us. Matthew 9, let's begin reading in verse 18 together. While he spake these things unto them, while our Lord spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live." And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Mark's account tells us that this man's name was Jairus. And it more clearly tells us that his daughter was at the point of death, on the verge of death. Because while the Lord was on his way to this man's house, the man said, "Would you please come and heal my daughter?" And the Lord said, "I'll come." And while they were headed to Jairus' house, some people came and met them, and they said, "Jairus, there's no need in you troubling the master any longer. Your daughter died." And I love this. The Lord looked him right in the eye, and he said to him, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he came to his house anyway. While they were traveling to Jairus' house, verse 20, it says, "Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, 'If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole.'" And don't you love that story? It was a great press of people. And this woman had to crawl through all their legs to reach out and touch the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he stopped. He said, "Virtue has gone out of me. Who touched me?" They said, "Who touched you? You see all these people?" He said, no. "Somebody touched me." Somebody was made whole. Verse 22, "But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole.' And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house," Jairus' house, "and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, 'Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth.' And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on us.' And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, 'Believe ye that I am able to do this?'" What a question. "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." and their eyes were opened. And Jesus straitly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb man, the mute man who couldn't speak, when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, "It was never so seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He casteth out devils through the prince of devils." And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Now, we've looked at each one of those accounts individually before. They are worthy to be looked at individually. Aren't they wonderful? With each one of them, don't you just smile inside, thinking about each one of those stories, each one of those accounts? If the Lord is willing, we will do that again. We'll look at each one of those individually at whatever point the Lord would have us to do that. But for this morning's message, I want to look at what we just read as a whole. And the reason is because all of this, everything we just read, collectively reveals to us what happens when a child of God is brought to a knowledge of the salvation that has been given to him or her in Christ. When salvation comes, salvation was purposed, salvation was purchased, and then salvation is understood. It's revealed. It comes in time to God's people. And when it does, this is how it comes. This is how it comes. When a sinner who God elected to save, chose to save, when the time comes for that sinner to be called by God to salvation, literally quickened, made alive to a knowledge and an understanding of that salvation, this is what happens. Spiritually speaking, we just read a lot of physical things. Spiritually speaking, this is what happens. These physical dealings that the Lord had with these people, they represent the spiritual dealings that he has with every one of his own. And the Lord reveals the importance of that to his people. The average man and woman is just so consumed with physical healing. They believe that's the blessing of the Lord. Physical healing. If I could just get a physical healing. Well, that's wonderful. I thank the Lord for physical healing. But that's not the blessing of the Lord. That's not his work of salvation to his people. This, spiritually speaking, is his work. And it's this way every single time. Every single time. Now, our Lord summarized all of this in one verse for us, all right? Everything we just read, he summarized it in one verse in Matthew 11. If you turn your page to Matthew chapter 11, verse 1 says, "It came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard," John the Baptist, "when he had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? When he had heard of the Lord's works. And John wasn't concerned with physical things. He was not looking toward physical matters. He was looking toward spiritual matters. He was concerned with the things of eternal life. And from prison, he is in prison. And from prison, he sent two of his disciples to ask the Lord, Art thou he that should come to save us, to redeem us, to eternally deliver us? Or do we look for another? Are we looking for another? Verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. He said, The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. He said, what a blessed person it is who is not offended in me. And I'm telling you, that is a blessed person. That is a blessed person who is not offended in, the Lord said, me, my way, my work, my word. You know, honestly, men and women are offended by the Lord's way. They are offended by the Lord's work. They are offended by the Lord's word. Men and women naturally believe they love, oh yeah, every word right there in the Bible. But once they really see what it says, come to find out, they don't love every word. It's offensive. It's truly offensive. The Lord said, blessed is the person who's not offended by my will. Blessed is the person who's not offended by my glory. Me getting all the glory. A person who has been made to humbly bow to that has been blessed by God. And you'll know who they are because they will have this salvation revealed to them. And they will love it. Strangely enough, just so strangely enough, they will have this, the more we look at this, they will have this revealed to them. And they'll love it. And they'll plead it. And they'll cling to it. They will know what they are in their flesh. They will know what Christ has done for them. And not only will they not be offended by it, it'll be their glory. It'll be their joy. It'll be their crown. They'll say, look at what he has done for us. Look at what he has done for us. Do you see what he has done for us? Well, go with me back to Matthew 9. There are so many things we could look at in these accounts. It mentions many times the subject of faith. We could look at the critical importance of faith, looking to Christ, believing on Christ for who he is and what he's able to do. He said, do you believe I'm able to do this? We could look at the fact that faith is not of ourselves. That's the gift of God to us. That's the work of God in us. He's the author of it. He's the finisher of it. We could look at the importance of praying to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Laborers in the word. And I'll tell you, if the Lord is willing, I want to preach another message on that. Because it is important. We need men to go preach the word of God in truth. He's going to have to call them. He's going to have to raise them up. But he said, pray that that will happen. And we need to do that. And we could spend time looking at that. So many important things that I'd love for us to take the time to look at. But what I want us to get a hold of for this morning is what it was collectively about all of these people that brought them to Christ. What was it about these people that brought the Lord's attention to them? What was it that brought His favor to them? What was it that brought His blessing to them? And here's the answer. I'm going to spill the beans, all right? It was their infirmities. What was it about all of them collectively that brought them to Christ and brought His attention? Did we realize that woman? We've already said there was a huge crowd of people there. Why her? Touching Him, grabbing Him. How come no virtue went out until her? What was it about them? It was their sickness. It was their infirmities. It was their disease. It was their inability. Here it was. It was the fact that none of them could have any confidence in their flesh. That's what it was. While men are standing up in here telling people, now you need to make it so you can have confidence in your flesh. Here's what it was. It was the fact that none of them could have any confidence in their flesh. None of them. Not one of them. Not one of them. Had these people not been sick, this is the truth. Had they not been sick and diseased in their flesh and unable to help themselves. The Lord helps those who are unable to help themselves. Had they not been unable to help themselves, they would have never been brought to the Lord. They would have never sought the Lord. They would have never had a desire placed in them to come to the Lord. They were sovereignly brought to Christ. Every soul that comes to Christ is sovereignly brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the thing about it. It was not by way of what they could be proud of that brought them. It was by way of what had ruined them that brought them. That's what brought them. What had ruined them. That's how it is with God's people and their sin. The longer I live, the more I realize this. What do all of God's people have in common? What do all of God's people have in common? It's this. Their worthiness did not bring them to Christ. Their wretchedness did. Honestly, that's what all of God's people have in common. While men and women are trying so hard to come based on their worthiness, God's people can't. They cannot. The only thing that can bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ is their wretchedness. That's the only thing. Their absolute wretchedness. None of God's people come because of the goodness of their flesh. They come because of the ruin of their flesh. And they all have a heart to come. They want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ because that ruin has been revealed to them. It's been revealed to them. A long time ago, there was a preacher who preached on the radio. And he got a call one day from a woman who had a lot of questions. Based on what she heard on the radio, she had a lot of questions, and he could tell that this woman was a woman of the street. I don't know how else to say it, but he finally said to her, "Why don't you come and visit with us, and why don't you come hear the messages preached? I believe it would help you." And she said, "You wouldn't want me to come down there." She said, "I'm a sinner." And he said, "We have a lot of those down here." And she said, No, I'm a real sinner." And he said, "We have a lot of those down here." He said, "I believe you'd fit in nicely down here. You come." God's people have this utter ruin revealed to them. God's people have utter ruin revealed to them. God's people have utter ruin revealed to them. This is the difference. God's people have utter ruin. You can talk about utter ruin, and those who do not know God do not know what you're talking about. What do you mean utter ruin? God's people have absolute, utter ruin of the flesh revealed to them. The saddest reality and the saddest truth that exists in this world is men and women by nature are spiritually blind. They are blind to the Lord Jesus Christ and His way and His righteousness, and they don't know it. That's the saddest condition of life on this earth. Men and women are blind to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they don't know it. This is what physical blindness is, okay? Physical blindness is not being able to see the things of this world. Spiritual blindness is not being able to see Christ, not being able to see the things of Christ. Men and women are blind to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they don't know it. They see the Scripture, but they don't see Christ in the Scripture. They can only see themselves in the Scripture. That's spiritual blindness. That's what it is. They cannot see Christ's work and Christ's fulfillment of the Scriptures. They can only see their work and their fulfillment of the Scriptures. That is spiritual blindness. They're blind to the fact that their work and their fulfillment is no work and no fulfillment at all. They think it is, but it's not. They're blind to that. The commandment is, come to Christ. That's the commandment. Come to Christ. Men and women, this is so sad, men and women are totally unaware of the fact that they can't come. Completely unaware of the fact that no man or woman can come to the Lord Jesus Christ except the Father draw that sinner to Christ. Man thinks he has come to Christ and has no idea that he hasn't. He's spiritually lame. Because he's not physically lame, he cannot comprehend spiritual lameness. Because he can come to church and because he can come to whatever, man is so eaten up with the leprosy of sin. Just man is literally rotting before God. Just eaten up with it. Just rotting before God. And man has no idea of his condition. He's hard-pressed to find one little spot here and there. Well, yes, I do see one little. Probably need to wipe that off. Man in his natural flesh does not hear the Word of God. Man does not hear the law. The Apostle Paul said, "You who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law?" Man does not hear the voice of God. What does the voice of God say? You're a sinner. Your only hope is a Savior. He has no idea. He's spiritually deaf. He can hear physical things, but he can't hear spiritual things. Spiritually deaf. Man in his flesh is dead before God. He enters this world spiritually dead before God. He has no idea. No idea. No idea that in his flesh he does not possess the eternal life of God. Man in his flesh is so poor before God. If man only knew how poor he was before God. He may have all the money that this world has to offer, but he is so poor before God because he does not have one thing that he can offer God to pay for his sin debt against him. He is so, so poor. Man is so poor. He thinks he has everything to offer God. Has no idea he has nothing. Nothing. The warning from God is, when there is no need for Christ, there is no healing from Christ. When there's no need for Christ, from Christ, there is no healing from the Lord Jesus Christ. Look right here at Matthew 9. The end of verse 12 says, he said, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. The best thing that could happen to every single one of us is that God would reveal our sickness to us. That is the best thing that could happen to all of us. That God would reveal our sickness to us. If God would reveal to us the reality of our condition in our flesh, we would lose all confidence in our flesh. We'd stop talking about it altogether. We would lose all confidence in our flesh. And we would have no choice but to turn to the healer of our sickness. The Savior from our sin, Christ Jesus our Lord. Every sin-diseased sinner who comes to Him is made whole. Every single sinner who comes to Him is made whole. I love, you know, God chose a people to save. He has a particular people. Only those people are going to be saved. But I say to the world, every sick sinner who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ will be healed, spiritually healed. And here's the reason why. Only God's people will want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Only God's people are made willing in the day of His power. If you at all have a heart to come to the healer of sin and sickness, go to Him. He will not turn you away. Verse 35, right here in Matthew 9, says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel good news of our spiritual healing from our sin disease, our sin sickness. He went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people, every one of them. Now, if we ever come to realize the reality of our condition before God, it is the Spirit of God that has revealed that to us. If we ever truly see it and know it and believe it, God's Spirit has revealed that to us. And if we ever come running in our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, if the Lord ever brings us to a place where we honestly, sincerely in our hearts, just come running to the Lord Jesus Christ for healing from our condition before God, that is the Father's draw. If your heart ever just needs to go running to Him, that is the Father's draw. That's the Father pulling you to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if these things have been revealed to us, it's God that has done it, start to finish. Flesh and blood doesn't reveal these things. God does. And He gets all the glory for it. Now, I'll start to wind down. Has He revealed these things to us? Has he revealed these things to us? Answer some of these questions in your heart, not out loud. Silently, in our own hearts, be honest. Be honest. That's the one thing I would say is let's be honest with ourselves, inside ourselves. In our flesh before God, how do we see ourselves to be? Alive in our flesh before Him, or dead in our flesh before Him? How do we see ourselves to be? If we've had the truth revealed to us, this is what we'll say. Dead. Dead, so dead. So dead. Oh, in my sinful condition, I am so dead before God Almighty. Where is life? I'm dead. Where's life? Well, if spiritual healing from God has come, we'll say, it's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is life? Christ has to live in me. It's in His work. It's in His righteousness. It's in His everything. That's where life is. It's in Him. If I could just get to Him, I'd have life. That's what that woman. If I could just touch His clothes, I'd have life. All right, here's another question. In our flesh before God, how do we see ourselves to be? Let's be honest. How do we see ourselves to be? Clean, pure, spotless before Him? Or diseased before Him? Which one is it? If we've had the truth revealed to us, we will say, I am diseased from head to toe. Wounds, bruises, putrefying sores, inside, outside, all the way down to my core. I am diseased before Him. I'm so diseased. I'm just full of a loathsome disease. That's me. Filled with a loathsome disease. That's all that flows through my veins, just disease, sin. Where is cleansing from that disease found? In a baptism? In a decision? If we've had the truth of the Word revealed to us, we'll say, cleansing for my disease can only be found in the blood that flows through Emmanuel's veins. The blood that He shed on the cross of Calvary to wash me from my sin. He must cleanse me. Where is cleansing? He must cleanse me. He has to wash me, or I'm not going to be cleansed. The stain is too deep. If our honest answer to these questions is, no, I'm not. Are you dead? No. No, I'm not dead. Are you diseased? No. No, I'm not diseased. I'm not rotting and diseased. That's the evidence of the fact that God has not revealed the true condition of your sin to you. My sin to me. If that's my answer, then that's my evidence. God has not revealed the truth of these things to me. And He's not drawing me to Christ. If that's my answer, I'm not being drawn to Christ. But if we cannot help but cry, Lord, I am so blind. Please let me see Christ. You ever drive to the service sometimes just begging God in your hearts, please let me see Christ today? You ever come here begging Him, Lord, please open this deaf ear and let me hear Christ today. Please open this deaf ear right here. Open these blind eyes. I'm so dumb. I'm so mute in my flesh. All I do is speak of my flesh. That's spiritually mute, dumb. I feel like all I do is speak of my flesh. Lord, please let me speak of Christ. Open my spiritual tongue, Lord. Let me speak of Him. Please purge me. Please heal me. Please save me, or I'm going to perish. You ever find yourself saying that? If our true heart's desire and our only hope is to get to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to beg Him for healing and for mercy, then it means God's gospel has come to us. That's what it means. It means his salvation has come to us. What it means is he has been moved with compassion toward us. And in the same way that every single one of these people right here that we read about, in the same way every one of them were healed, so will we be. The whole do not need a physician, but the sick do. Here's the question. Are you sick? Are you sick like I'm sick? Do we need Christ? Do we need Christ? Do we see Him to be our all? Do we hear Him to be the only voice of truth? Everything He has to say about us, do we cry, "Truth, Lord, truth"? Do we need to come to Him? Do we need to believe on Him? Do we need life from Him and forgiveness from Him and mercy from Him and grace from Him? If we do, it's only because He's made us to know that we do. And it means that we have everything He's made us to know that we need. If we know we need it, that's the evidence. You have what you need. If you know you need it and you're crying out to God for it, begging Christ for it, you have what you need. If we need Christ, it means we have Christ. That's comfort to my heart. If we need Him, it means we have Him. Lord, let us need You more and more. Don't you want to need Christ more? Lord, let me need You more and more. Let us come to You. Let us cast our all on You. And then, Lord, please supply our need. Let us cry out to You for all our need. And then please, Lord, supply our need. If that is our heart, He will. If that's been revealed to us and that's our cry and that's our need, He'll supply it every time. All right, Brother Eddie, you come.